There's the good news and the good news.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Lots of good news this Monday morning. First, from the housing market, sales of previously owned homes rose last month to the highest level in 2.5 years. The National Association of Realtors reports more than 6 million homes sold in October. That's up 10% from the month before. Much of the credit for that bump is being given to government stimulus, namely the first-time homebuyer tax credit. Good news also on the jobs front. A survey out this morning from the National Association for Business Economics found companies are actually planning to hire early next year. John Dimsdale has more from Washington.
A survey of business economists predicts growing demand for products and services. That should generate job creation by the new year. But Richard DeKayser with the National Association for Business Economics says don't expect a quick bounce back.
With gains in labor productivity, businesses are increasingly able to satisfy increases in demand up to a certain point. But beyond that point, they will have to hire new labor, and we think we're approaching that switching point right about now.
High unemployment lingering into an election year puts pressure on the Democratic majority in Washington to consider more government stimulus of the economy. Deficit hawks, though, will argue the first stimulus didn't work, and more will only saddle future generations with extra debt. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
All of that good news has the markets feeling good this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 141 points, 1.3% to 10,459. The NASDAQ up 33 points, 1.5% to 2179. The S&P 500 up 17 points, 1.5% to 1108. A good morning for European markets as well, thanks to reports of growth in the Eurozone's service sector. London's FTSE is up 1.3%. Germany's DAX added 1.5%. Word today, the U.S. is feeling a little less fantastic about plastic. Credit agency TransUnion reports last quarter credit card late payments dropped in the third quarter for the first time in a decade, down 6%. The average amount of credit card debt was down, too, to about $5,600. Ron Shevlin is an analyst with the Aite Group in Boston. He joins us live. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
So, third quarter credit card debt down for the first time in 10 years. What's going on?
Well, to a certain extent, this reflects the reduction in the number of cards that are outstanding. The issuers have cut back a little bit on the number of cards that are out there, shutting down some people's cards, and that has helped to reduce that statistic a little bit, as well as the tightening in the credit lines that some of these people have. But for the most part, what this really represents is a broader trend among consumers to be a little bit more disciplined about their spending. Thanks to greater levels of financial education, a lot more consumers are aware of the impact on their financial lives of running balances every month and paying late fees. And what we're really seeing here is much more of a disciplined spending and disciplined management of financial lives among consumers.
Is our newfound discipline going to last, do you think?
Well, I think there's a lot of debate of whether or not there's what many people call a new normal in terms of spending. Personally, I think that when the economy does start to improve, we may actually see something a little bit odd and actually see an increase again in this late spending, as a lot of pent-up demand for things that consumers are shelving today and not purchasing, they'll start to loosen up a little bit, and we actually see a rise in that statistic when the economy actually improves.
We've got some new credit card rules coming into effect. People are apparently paying off their balances more. What about credit card issuers? What are they going to do to make money?
Well, there's no question that they're seeing a squeeze these days as their ability to raise interest rates are curtailed. They also have much less flexibility in terms of imposing or levying fees. So their focus these days is focusing on the consumers who make heavy use of their cards on a regular basis, but don't necessarily run up balances or maintain balances every month, and focusing on the spenders who are going to drive a lot of volume. And this way they'll make their money through the interchange fees. So from a consumer perspective, if you're a good customer with a good credit rating, making heavy use of credit cards, and you don't revolve your balances on a monthly basis, probably doing that to build up your rewards base, this is a good time to shop around for the issuers that are beefing up their rewards programs and perhaps making some better use of the rewards to attract
customers. Ron, we're going to have to leave it right there for time. Ron Shevlin is an analyst with the Aite Group in Boston. Ron, thanks for talking with us.
Anytime.
A little vampire love had people gushing into theaters this weekend. Twilight sequel New Moon pulled in $140 million, making it one of the biggest openings in U.S. box office history. The top spot still belongs to the Batman film, Dark Knight.
Marketplace is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs, such as The Splendid Table, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
Google is no question the 800-pound gorilla of search, but now someone is taking a shot at the mammoth from Mountain View. The Financial Times reports News Corp wants to remove its content from Google, and it's looking to team up with a tech titan of its own. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins has more.
News Corp wants to get paid for its newspaper stories available online. Its owner, Rupert Murdoch, has been vocal about how he thinks news companies need to charge for web content. Now he has a plan. The Financial Times reports his company is in discussions to take its content off Google and move it to Microsoft search engine Bing. The talks are in the early stages, but the idea is that Microsoft might pay to feature News Corp's papers. Caroline Wiertz of the Cass Business School in London says this could drive other media companies to do the same thing.
If we then come into a world where you can't basically Google all content anymore and get it for free, then I think consumers would be incentivized. And News Corp is large enough to make that first move, and I think they realize that.
For now, it seems this is just about newspaper articles. But it could help Microsoft chip away at Google's dominance, being accounted for less than 10% of online searches last month. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.